on the other side of hugely complex schematic diagrams, Zara smiled knowingly at the hard-used, martyred tone. Lady Macbeth's fusion drives ignited, driving the ship towards the twirling wreckage of the station. Thermodump panels hied back into their recesses as the G-force climbed. The starship's sensors tracked the two fusion drives 40,000 kilometers ahead. Joshua was wondering how long it would take them to spot the rescue attempt. "If they use the sensors the way they do the fusion drives, they may never see us. Maranta was only accelerating at half a G." Melvin and Sara finished their work on fusion tube number one and gave him control, warning it wouldn't last for long. Joshua brought Lady Mac up to 5 G's and held her there. "They're launching combat wasps," Dibby said. Joshua observed the flight computer plotting purple vector lines. "That's odd." The 6 combat wasps were flying around Aethra, forming a loose ring. Their drives went off when they were 200 kilometers from the habitat, coasting past it. Submunitions burst out from 2 and accelerated towards the slowly rotating cylinder. "Kinetic missiles," Joshua said. "What the hell are they doing?" Bright orange explosions rippled across the rust-red polyp surface. "Injuring it," Sara said with terse determination. "That kind of assault won't destroy it, but they'll inflict a lot of harm, almost as if they're deliberately mutilating it." "Injuring it?" Dibby asked. The normally composed node specialist was openly incredulous. "What for?" "People injure, animals injure, not habitats. You can't hurt them like you can a mammal." "That's what they're doing," Sara insisted. "It does look that way," Joshua said. The Maranta's drive came on again, followed a few seconds later by the second ship. "They've seen us," Joshua said. It had taken 8 minutes, which was appallingly sloppy detection work. Lady Mac was over halfway towards the lifeboats, less than 20,000 kilometers away now. The other ships were barely 500 kilometers distant from the squealing beacons. "This is where it gets interesting." He launched 8 combat wasps and upped the Lady Mac's acceleration to 7 G's. The drone shot ahead at 25 G's. An answering salvo of 12 emerged from the 2 starships. "Shit!" Joshua exclaimed. "They're running for Aethra." "Clever," Melvin said. "We can't use the nukes when they're close to it." "No, but I can still use the gamma pulses for offense." He fired off a string of coded instructions to the combat wasps. "And it may give us the time we need to pick up the lifeboats. None of their combat wasps are targeting them." He thought for a moment. "Sara, broadcast a tight beam warning to the lifeboats. Tell them to deactivate their beacons now. Anyone warped enough to maim a habitat won't think twice about snuffing refugees." The first combat wasp conflict took place 5,000 kilometers from Aethra, a ragged rosette of plasma sprawling across 600 kilometers. Joshua watched several attackers come through unscathed and launched another salvo of 5 drones, programming 3 to form a defense shield formation. The bridge's gravity plane shifted sharply as he initiated an evasion maneuver. The children were crying with their voices and minds. Gora broadcast a soothing harmonic in the general affinity band, adding to the compulsion of the other adults. "What I need," he thought, "is someone to calm me." The lifeboat was a sturdy cylinder 10 meters long and 4 wide. It had no propulsion system apart from the solid fuel booster to fire it clear of any conceivable emergency, and reaction thrusters to hold it stable while the refugees waited for rescue. Like all the systems on the station, it was spacious and well-equipped. There were 8 seats, lockers with enough food for a fortnight, and a month-long oxygen supply. For Edenists, even disasters would be inconvenient rather than dangerous. "Such arrogance," he cursed inside the confines of his own skull, "such stupid blind faith in our technological prowess." Right now, there were 14 adults and 5 children crammed inside. There hadn't been time for them to reach another lifeboat. With a hubris which hindsight revealed to be quite monstrous, the disasters which the designers anticipated had all been natural. Even a meteorite strike would leave most of the wheel intact, and evacuation would be a calm, rational process.